Now tonight we've been remembering the sacrifice of others who have given their lives for our freedom and indeed for our liberty today. Yes, we think of those who have given their lives in two world wars and other international conflicts. We think also of many in our own province here have given their lives during the troubles here in Northern Ireland. Yes, there are many in this province and they've suffered through the hands and through the deeds of evil and ungodly men. Now tonight, yes, as we think of those who sorrow over the loss of a loved one, and as we think also of those who bear physical wounds and carry emotional scars and pain and trauma day by day as a result of the troubles here and in other conflicts, yes, we do pray that they will know God's comfort, that they will know God's grace, God's help in their time of need. And how important it is that we pray for such. As was read in that psalm earlier on, the psalmist could speak of the Lord's help in their own life. And they could say, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And we pray for such tonight that they will know the help and the grace of God day by day. Also, it is right and proper that we give thanks to God as well for our freedom. Indeed, for our liberties today. This is something we should not take for granted as a people and as a nation. And it's important also that we pray that our freedoms and our liberties would be maintained. It's important that we pray that the plans and schemes of evil and ungodly men would be stopped and brought to naught. You think of what the Lord taught His disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, those well-known words, I'm sure, to us all when He said, "Lord, deliver us from evil." And how important it is that we pray for our land, pray for our nation, that it might be delivered from the ways and the schemes of evil and ungodly men. We thank God for the sacrifice of others, and we must never forget the sacrifice of others in the past. We thank God tonight for our civil and our religious liberty, something that God in grace has given to us, something we must praise and thank God for day by day. You know, dear people, here tonight in this service, whenever we think of what others have suffered and what others have given for our liberties today, I believe we are reminded of the greatest sacrifice of all. And that sacrifice was the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary for the salvation of sinners. My speaking of that very same sacrifice, the hymn writer says these words, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere He found the sheep that was lost. And what the hymn writer really was saying, that there is no other sacrifice like that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for the sacrifice of others. We remember that sacrifice. We salute the memory of those who have laid down their lives for us today. But people, above and beyond this, the greatest, the most important sacrifice of all is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Over some 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, outside of the city wall of Jerusalem. And our text here tonight in Hebrews chapter 1 and the verse number 3 refers to this very same sacrifice. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the writer here to the Hebrews says these words about Christ: when He had by Himself purged our sins. And friends, in the time that remains tonight, I want us to consider and to think upon this greatest of all sacrifices, that of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. First of all, I want you to notice here with me the necessity of Christ's sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 1, there, verse 3, it speaks, it says there, of our sins. You think of those two words, our sins. And those words really show to you and I the necessity, the absolute necessity of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. Just as many in World War II had to lay down their life because of the evil of Hitler at that time, So Christ had to lay down his life because of the awful evil of our sin and the awful evil of man's sin. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins. In recent times, we've heard this often in the media during this present pandemic about the spread of coronavirus. Well, people, the Bible tells you and I that through the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, sin has spread throughout the entire human race of mankind. The Bible says, for us by one man's disobedience, many were made as sinners. Therefore, all of us, every single one of us, this preacher included, we are all guilty of terrible evil and sin in the sight of God. And the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and that sinneth not. We're all guilty of sin. Our sin by nature and practice means, yes, that we all have broken the law of God. Every single one of us are guilty of breaking the law of God in thought, in word, and in deed. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that really means because of our sin by nature and practice, you and I, in and of ourselves, we cannot please God. We cannot merit the favor of Almighty God. Yes, we all have come short of the standard of God. The Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible also makes it very clear that our sin is something that is deeply grieving to God, God who is holy and without sin. Our sin is deeply offensive to God. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, it says there, the prophet is speaking to the Lord, and he says, Lord, of pure eyes and to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. That shows us that sin and evil grieves God. Our sin separates us from God, just as it drove Adam and Eve, our first parents, out of the Garden of Eden. Before sin, before the fall of man, Adam and Eve had sweet fellowship and communion and lived in harmony with God. But sin came and destroyed that fellowship and that harmony. As a result, they were separated from God and they were driven from the Garden of Eden. That reminds you and I how our sin separates us from God, our Maker, our Creator. Then our sin, it leads to death. The penalty of sin is death. Not only physical death, but eternal punishment. And hell itself, the lake of fire, God's endless punishment and judgment for sin. The Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death, says the Scriptures. In Jude, verse number 7 there, the Apostle Jude, he warns us there of the judgment of God for sin. He pens these words and he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, he says, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. There, Jude, in the Word of God, warns you and I of the ultimate penalty of sin, separation from God, eternal punishment from God in the lake of fire, and hell itself, the end of sin for all mankind. And friends, tonight in this Remembrance Night service, please understand this, please realize this. It's because of our sin, because of the terrible effects and ruin of sin in our lives and throughout this world, that Christ, the Son of God, had to die. Our sins necessitated the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, see tonight, yes, the necessity of Christ's sacrifice. But not only the necessity of that sacrifice, notice secondly here with me tonight the uniqueness of Christ's sacrifice. Look again at what the apostle says here in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse number 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says these words, when he had, he says, by himself purged our sins. Notice those two words in particular there, by himself. And those words really prove to us that Christ's sacrifice was unique. There was no other sacrifice like it. You see, only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can save you and I from our sins and from the ruin of our sins. Peter, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And the Word of God, the Scriptures make it very clear that no work of man, no rite or sacrifice of man, no religious ceremony of man can save us from our sins. The Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest that any man should boast. Our church cannot save us. Our baptism cannot save us. Our communion cannot save us. Our confirmation cannot save us. Our good works done to our neighbors cannot save us. Men and women, young people in the meeting tonight, boys and girls, understand this. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us from our sins. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in this text, can purge away our sins. You remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Christ coming toward him. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, see tonight the uniqueness of the sacrifice of Christ. There's no other sacrifice that can do helpless and hopeless sinners good but the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. If the Western world was to be delivered from Nazi Germany in World War II, then our forces here had to leave home and loved ones and their own country. They had to go and fight and die on foreign soil and on distant shores. My, there was no other way to bring about deliverance from evil and tyranny at that time. Dear people, the Bible shows us that Christ, the Son of God, he had to leave heaven. He had to leave heaven's glory and the splendor of heaven and the worship of angels. And he had to come into this world, into this sin-cursed world in accordance with God's plan and will. And he went freely, he went willingly, he went lovingly to the cross of Calvary for sinners. And on that cross, Jesus Christ, who himself was without sin, he suffered, he bled and died for sins that were not his own. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 53. And the verse number 5, he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by the shedding of his sinless, precious blood, what did Christ do? He satisfied God's justice. He paid the penalty of our sin in full when he cried out on the cross, it is finished. And he made a way for you and I to be saved and to be delivered from our sins. The Bible says this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The hymn writer says there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, the uniqueness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Friend, tonight in the meeting, let me say this, to avail personally of this so great salvation that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you must confess your need as a lost sinner to God. You must come before the Lord as a repentant sinner and trust in Christ. Trust in Christ alone personally for your salvation. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And the Word of God says, for by grace are you saved. True faith, it's by faith in Christ that you're saved, that you receive this so great salvation of our God. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is how it was with the writer here of this epistle to the Hebrews. He was a person who trusted personally in Jesus Christ as Savior. If we look again at what he says about Christ in our text, it's personal here. He says, when he had by himself, he says, purged our sins. It was a time in his life's experience when he put his faith and trust as a repentant sinner in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Likewise, friend, at our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you're to be saved, then you must also put your faith, you must put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Notice one final thought here in connection with our text. Notice the outcome here of Christ's sacrifice. You look again at what our verse says there in Hebrews chapter 1 and the verse number 3. Speaking of Christ, the writer says this. He says, when he had by himself purged our sins. Notice that word purged there. Underline it, mark it in your Bible. That word purged, what does it mean? It means to cleanse. It means to make clean. And here we see how it is by faith in Christ as Savior that all our sins can be cleansed away from before God's all-seeing eye. It is by faith in Christ as Savior that our sin-sick soul can be made clean and acceptable before Almighty God, the Holy God of heaven. Friend, can I say this is the great blessing that God has for you. Whenever you repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, you see, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses of us, the Bible says, from all sin. Speaking of those who trust in the Lord, gives them this promise. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's what the Lord can do for you. Pardon all your sins and pardon all your sins forever. And dear people, tonight, can I say this? When our sins are pardoned through Christ's precious blood, what happens? We are restored to fellowship with God. The harmony that was broken at the fall of man in the Garden of Eden is now restored. We are restored into fellowship and harmony with God. We become a member of God's family. We're brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's marvelous light. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You think back to the end of World War II. Whenever Hitler was defeated, World War II ended, there was a great uniting again of people and countries that had been separated by the awful ravages of that war. Well, friend, by faith in Christ as Savior, the wall of separation between us and God, it's removed, it's taken away. By faith in Christ as Savior, we are made the children of God. We become members of the household of faith, the household of God. Praise God also, whenever your sins are purged away by Christ's precious blood, you become a benefactor of God's love, of God's grace, indeed of the Lord's presence. The Lord says to those who trust Him for salvation, He says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. By the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your heart, the Lord will be with you. He'll be your portion. He'll be your constant aid and companion along the journey of life. When you know Him and when you trust Him as Savior. And then praise God also, whenever your sins are purged away by Christ's precious blood, the Bible makes it absolutely clear that you're saved. Saved from a lost eternity in hell. And my, you're sure and certain after you die of a home in heaven, a place in glory, an inheritor of everlasting life. You turn in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 12, just over a few pages from our text this evening to Hebrews chapter number 12. And look with me, please, at the verse number 22. And look at what the writer says to those here who had trusted Christ for salvation. This was their hope. This was their inheritance. And he says in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 12, "But ye are come," he says, "unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." He says, you're come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is the prize that lies before all who know and trust the Lord as Savior. What a place heaven is. In heaven there is no sin. Tears are wiped away, the Bible says, in heaven. There is no darkness in heaven. There is no sorrow in heaven. There is no death in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. This is Remembrance Sunday, we think of those that have given their lives in wars and conflicts here and further afield. In heaven, there'll be no war. There'll be no battles. All war will be over. It's a place, the Bible says, of eternal, everlasting peace, a place of everlasting joy, everlasting life, a place of eternal worship of the Lord. The Lord speaks of heaven in the book of the Revelation. And he says, "Behold, I make all things new." Friend, tonight as you sit in this meeting, have you that hope in your heart? That hope in your soul that if you were to die tonight, as the Bible says, would it be for you absent from the body, present with the Lord? You can have that hope tonight. If you come and place your faith and your trust in Christ alone for salvation. Our text speaks of Christ here and says, when he had by himself purged our sins, man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, whoever you are, whatever your sin is, whatever your sin has been, you can know your sins purged, cleansed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. General Pershing was a general who served in the American forces in World War I. But he was also a Christian. And speaking to one occasion to those men that were under his command, he said these words. He said, "I have known Jesus Christ for 47 years, and I could not face life without him. It is no small thing to know that all the past is forgiven, and that help is available from God every day. I commend such a Savior to you." That was his message to the men under his command. And likewise, friend, in this Remembrance Night service, I commend also to you tonight, young and old in this gathering, that same such Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." If you're not saved tonight, come tonight by faith to Christ. Rest upon Christ alone. Know your sins purged away, dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross, by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died upon the cross to save us from our sins. May God bless you tonight and God help you to come to trust in him, whom to know is life eternal. We're just going to turn now in our order of service to our final hymn this evening. It's 281. It's a great old gospel hymn. The hymn writer says, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." We'll stand as we sing this great gospel hymn, and during the singing of this hymn, the standard bearers again will receive the colors, and we ask you to remain standing for prayer after the singing of the hymn, and then there'll be the national anthem, and just remain standing for that, and then just as the colors are removed from the assembly hall here, the church building, just remain standing for that also, please, at the end of the service. We'll stand as we sing, as the organist leads us in our praise, please. Thank you. Father and our God, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us here in this gathering. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the writer to the Hebrews could speak of Christ and could say, when He had by Himself purged our sins. And Father, we thank Thee for each one in the gathering tonight who can testify of this, purging, this cleansing from sin by the precious blood, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. For all who can rejoice tonight in the pardon of sins, the great hope of life eternal, who can look forward to that heavenly Jerusalem, that home in glory, that great inheritance laid up for us. Help us to rejoice in this day by day. And Lord, help us to be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But Father, for any here tonight, young or old, and as yet they've never put their trust in the Lord for salvation, oh, that tonight, O God, that they might come in believing faith and trust in Christ and rest upon Him alone for salvation. Be with all who have gathered here tonight. Comfort those that mourn tonight. Give grace and help and strength to all in their time of need. And again, we thank Thee for the sacrifice of others. We thank Thee for our freedom and our liberty. And Father, we praise Thee and we thank Thee most of all for that liberty that we find in Christ Jesus our Lord. Accept of our thanks. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies, O God, we pray. Bless us in the week that lies before us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all who know and love Thee this night and always. Amen and amen. The National Anthem. May be seated. Thank you.